Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg, and we're your regular gathering crew. And tonight's topic is going to be afterlife in the media. I'll be kicking around some things. We welcome your calls. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. I know that we had posted in the announcement of the radio show, we posted two videos, I believe. One was an audio of a story that we mentioned, I think, last week or the week before about a rescuer, a team of rescuers that came upon a scene where a mother and child had gone off of an overpass, and unfortunately the mother perished, but the infant still strapped in the seat, was fine. And the rescuers said that they heard voices, a voice saying, help me, help me. And the mother had been dead for 14 hours before, they estimate. So it was an unusual story, and we were talking about how that was treated in the media. And we also posted an old video of Lloyd Auerbach on The View, talking with Whoopi and the crew about, and they were peppering him with questions about the afterlife and about paranormal phenomena. So I don't know if anybody got a chance to look at those things, we can discuss it. But the first topic about that video with the rescuers, what's interesting, do you recall seeing that?
Yeah,
it was everywhere.
Did you notice how the media was treating it? What struck us was we were watching a replay of, was it?
The Today Show,
which is one with
Matt Lauer,
yeah. And they were dancing around.
Yeah, Matt Lauer said something, well, it depends on your belief system, but and then he didn't say anything conclusive, but he just sort of said it. But it depends on your belief system of where you think the voice came from.
Right. And one of them also said, well, it could be a case at the end. They said it could be a case of divine, intervention.
Yeah.
So the immediate thought is that, it was a direct result of a creator, in a more religious sense. But nobody really talked about the possibility that it was the dead communicating with the living.
Right, and it's such an interesting topic in this day and age. For them, how many are on that panel? Four? Three?
Yeah,
four of them. They just passed it off from one to the next to the next, and then that was the end of the conversation. Something that's so interesting to the viewers and something that's so interesting just to the general public out there, and they just kind of brush it off.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think a lot has to do with the public figures being politically correct, if it's a weird term to use in this context, but isn't that a shame, though? I mean, you're not politically correct if you talk about some of the stuff that we talk about.
It's strange, and I mean, from what we know, the conclusion I would jump to it was that the mother, who has just recently passed, wanted to save for her baby. And
that was your first thought, right?
Yeah.
Was that your first thought, too?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
mine wasn't. Was when I was reading it, my gut was that it wasn't the mother. It was somebody who had predeceased the mother, like a grandmother,
or somebody else
who was then calling for help.
Somebody could be acting as a guide.
Which, of course, makes sense because it takes time to be able to manifest.
Even realize that, she's not a physical person anymore.
Oh, that's also true, yeah.
And I often think about angels only because I've read so many stories about angels, but I just didn't, as much as I might believe in angels, I wasn't certain if they'd have a voice. I just didn't know. So that's why I thought, gave the voice to the mother.
I was along with you guys. That's the first thought that came to my mind, was that, you know, this was the mother. And yeah, sometimes it does take a while to figure it out, but then there's a lot of, we see these, you know, these crisis apparitions that happen right away as they're just right.
Right, and you've certainly heard stories of people who can lift a car when their child is underneath it,
right.
Obviously when they couldn't do it in any other means. So the mother, you know, and it was a close call, because apparently the water was rising, and had it been another half an hour, the baby would have drowned.
Yeah, which was, I don't know, the timing was impeccable, you know, for that, you know, to happen, and they would run there. And also, the rescuers themselves, when interviewed, were saying, I don't know. You know, I mean, I can't explain it, but I can tell you what I heard, you know. And
yeah.
This is what I heard. They weren't saying, well, then maybe somebody was communicating with me. I mean, they were being very noncommittal, maybe for fear of them being labeled or, you know.
I guess we're a little bit further along rather than saying, well, my mind was playing tricks on me, or one of those kind of disclaimers that, you know, they were saying, I heard a voice. What else can I tell you? I heard a voice. And it wasn't for them to conclude where the voice came from, but the fact that here's the evidence, you tell me what happened, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, what we're all about. We're looking at all this evidence that is out there and trying to make patterns and sense out of them in terms of it really is the loved ones.
Yeah. And it is a lot safer for people that or in the media, not necessarily with movies. I think the people that make movies, they don't have to be politically correct, and you know they don't have the same restrictions. But for others, I think it's okay if you attribute it to a divine source. You know, that's acceptable. It's acceptable on many levels. You know, from many degrees of belief, religious and non-religious. But to say that it was communication from a discarnate is a problem, you know. So isn't that what we're trying to do, is to make it not a problem?
Yes.
And what is the problem? That you're perceived as a little loony or something?
Or that you're dealing in the black arts and then you're going down a path of evil.
Well, that's always so interesting to jump to the evil conclusion. And is that ingrained in people because of religion?
Well, that's religious doctrine. Yeah, it's dogma. It's basically what that is, which is, to me, it's nuts, because, you know, Christianity is based on the you know, the John 3:16 that you see up at the baseball game and stuff, is that, you know, believe, those who believe in me shall never perish but have eternal life. And then you turn around and these people who have believed and have eternal life are communicating, and it's like, oh, no, we can't hear about that. I mean, it's the very basic doctrine.
Right.
And yet when you see evidence that, yeah, hey, guess what? There is eternal life. And they say, oh, wow, now you're talking about the devil. And it's like, wait a minute.
But with their philosophy, then Jesus would have been the devil, because he demonstrated it by coming back.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, you can't have it both ways, and yet these people don't get that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, except for this, it can be both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think we're going to go to our break. When we come back, I'd like to get more into a little bit on that Lloyd Auerbach interview on The View, and also talk about some movies with afterlife themes, because there's certainly a lot of them. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a Wind Bridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And Fran is going to get us caught up on some foundation business.
I certainly will. Okay. When you're shopping on the internet, even for the smallest of all items, please keep Forever Family Foundation in mind. By doing one simple task when you shop, you can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, without sending us any money at all. Since many of us shop on Amazon.com, using any of the Amazon links or book links on the Forever Family Foundation website to take you to Amazon's site is the only step you need to take before you start shopping. This will result in a donation from Amazon to us based on a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart. And what if you don't shop on Amazon? That's not a problem. There's another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. Sign up and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. It's free, and just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the Internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,500 online stores that you're already shopping in, like drugstore.com, Hanes, Home Depot, Nike, Radio Shack, Victoria's Secret, and a whole bunch more. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. The Holiday of the Earth Raffle 2015. Can we talk? This is a great opportunity to both support the work of Forever Family Foundation and to possibly win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation mediums, Lynn LeClaire, Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Amy Utzman, and Tracy Bray. The drawing is Earth Day, April 22nd, and only 44 people have entered as I speak to you now.
There's only 3 weeks left.
So get your entries in. You don't know how great your chances are. And don't forget to mark your calendars for the annual Afterlife Exploration Retreat in Chester, Connecticut, this July 24th through 26th. Our members-only early bird ends on May 31st. But most of our rooms are already reserved. So if you really are thinking about going, double-check that it works for you because we have a no-refund policy, and then book your rooms. There are a few seats left in our upcoming Mediumship 101 webinar. All the details are on our events page on the Forever Family Foundation website. Please, please, please follow the directions to reserve your seats. Once you register, your registration will go through an approval process. So unless you get that approval email, you do not yet have a seat. Members are free. Non-members or those wishing to pay and support our work will only pay $20. And there's a donate button, so you want to donate more than $20, we are happy to accept that. And finally, please, 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 please help us keep our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. And visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org for that and all the links, information, and registration. And lastly, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Okay.
And we're back talking about Afterlife and the Medium. Before the break, we were talking about that story with the rescuer and on the Today show, and we forgot that
we have a clip
of the commentators. So we're going to play that and hope that
it's loud enough.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
We have a remarkable story of survival out of Utah to tell you about a toddler who was found alive hanging upside down in her car seat 14 hours after a car crash that killed her mother. And now emergency officials are saying there was a mysterious voice that helped them find her. Here's NBC's Miguel Almaguer.
This morning inside this Utah hospital, doctors call the improving condition of 18-month-old Lily a miracle. The toddler was in her mother's car when their vehicle catapulted off this bridge into the icy river below.
There is one person in the vehicle. They don't appear to be moving.
When rescue teams arrived on scene 14 hours after the accident, they say they could hear an adult voice crying for help from inside the overturned car.
We heard a voice from inside the car say, "Help me, help me." That voice is something that we're not sure exactly where it came from, but it was definitely clear and distinct.
The driver, 25-year-old Jennifer Grossback, didn't survive. Her daughter Lily still strapped in her car seat upside down, her head inches above the water. Police plunged into the icy river to flip the car over.
When I got in, she was totally submerged underwater. And that's why I said I just reached down and cradled her up with the one arm and
car, a very lucky baby, according to Dr. Stephen Jones.
The real miracle here is just the combination of events that allowed the baby to survive, her ability to breathe, the fact that she was not severely injured in the accident itself.
From her hospital bed, Lily is said to be singing Wheels on the Bus, an incredible story of survival and a mystery after the unexplained voice led rescue teams to little Lily. For today, Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
We have been discussing this story in commercial breaks over the last couple of minutes. This voice is just, you know, depends on your belief system to what you think that voice might have been.
Yeah, some people are saying, could it have been the mother? Could it have been the child? I don't know. I think at least the rescuers feel like it was miraculous. And let that divine intervention, some say. Yeah.
All right, so there they acknowledged that there was something mysterious, and
they also acknowledged that they discussed it during the commercial breaks rather than on television where they could actually make comments on this thing.
Yeah. Well, the media, you know, I came across those that read a lot of articles and watch shows where they discuss the afterlife and paranormal stuff, maybe familiar with the skeptic Michael Shermer and Dr. Parisetti, who a lot of our listeners may be familiar with, wrote a blog recently, and it was pretty interesting because he says that Shermer wrote an article for the Scientific American magazine, and he talked about a personal experience that involved his own wife and her deceased grandfather, who she was very attached to, and her grandfather had an old non-working transistor radio that she kept as a namesake, and that radio, which hadn't worked at all for years, started playing meaningful music just as his wife was wishing that her beloved grandfather was still there. And then the radio stopped working and never played again. So Sherman said, "This rocked me back on my heels and shook my skepticism to its core as well." So Piero, rightfully so, in his blog is saying, people have been reporting these experiences for centuries, and Shermer, these same people, he's been telling them that he's made a career out of telling them that they were suggestible or gullible or unreliable and basically, as Pierre says, brainless idiots, and not even worth talking to. And here he is now talking about this personal experience. So
he's one of the brainless idiots.
So, go figure. But it just shows you that we always talk about this, how personal experience takes precedence over everything. You could believe and believe and believe and believe your whole life, and then you have a personal experience, and lo and behold, it can change you, just like
that. Without a doubt.
And that sounds like in Eben Alexander's book, as he spoke as being a doctor and hearing people's stories, but kind of brushing them off, and then until it happened to him.
Right.
So right. In fact, that book, he has his appendix of the book where he talks about the actual neurology of what happens to people and what doctors tell them is happening, how they dismiss it.
Right.
And he talked about how years and years as a doctor, he would utter those very same words to dismiss all of this, and now he finds himself in the midst of the personal experience and can no longer. And that made him take a closer look as a neurologist and say, it's impossible for it to be a trick of the mind or this or that they dismiss it with.
Yeah, and that talk about personal experience, that's about as personal as you could get, when you have
I think that's, and Melissa and I were discussing this before the show, not that it was a secret, but that seems to be the protocol of medical schools. We're going to teach you what we believe you should be telling your patients.
Yeah.
Forget about reading about it yourself or researching it yourself and coming up with the right answer. We're going to tell you what if it's A, then B is your answer, and if it's C, then D is your answer, and this is the way it's supposed to be if you're going to be a good doctor. And unfortunately, it doesn't work in the real world.
Yeah. We we know that there are a lot of, obviously, the TV shows about the paranormal, a lot of paranormal things. I mean, now you see some of them have morbid themes to them, like The Walking Dead, you know. Yes. But a lot of terrific movies over the years, we forget as you review them, going back quite a while, they're not afraid to discuss, you know, these things, and some of them are pretty insightful. We stumbled upon a movie that we watched just last week called Heart and Soul.
1993.
Oh. Robert Downey Jr., who looks like he's 10 and kind of thing. But even then, I saw, you know, you could see that he was an incredible actor.
Yeah.
My memory is not great. We only watched it a week ago. But the it shows people with separate lives all coming together in an accident involving a bus and a car. And in the car was a pregnant woman. And everybody perishes in this accident. And the baby, you know, doesn't. And it turns out that all of these different four personalities are in part of the baby's soul, and that the baby can see them and communicates with all four. It's like in the old Topper show, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think, and the parents are going nuts because the teachers are calling and the principal's calling. They want to give them therapy, and you know, he's talking to, you know, imaginary, you know, things, but it was really entertaining, and it brought a lot of the themes together.
Right. They did a really good job of bringing all the spiritual themes into it. There were things that were a bit skewered, but I think that was because it was framed as a romantic comedy. But they got all of the stuff, you know, the rising above your body and you know, recognizing eventually that you're dead. And then what we hear very, very often are infants that, you know, seem to be staring off at something, you know, and that's how this whole thing starts. Once you realize that the infant is the focal part of this story, and the parents are sitting in the living room and they just can't figure out why this baby constantly faces the wall and talks to the wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we hear this all the time, you know, and we get emails about it all the time.
Sure.
So, you know, they're still close to the veil and they can see it.
It was interesting is that all of these people had a lot of unfinished business before they were in the accident. One woman had children, you know, everybody has this story like everybody does. So what they needed to do is they were given time to, through Robert Downey Jr., who was this child, you know, growing up now and an executive, they would actually use him. Sometimes they would enter his body, and he would go and make everything right and rectify each thing.
They were supposed to use him to complete what it was that they incarnated for.
Right.
But they didn't figure that out. That was the problem in the movie, was somebody forgot to tell them that they were supposed to complete their mission here, their purpose here, before they could cross over.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, we were talking also in that interview with Lloyd on The View. Whoopi certainly had no problems with the work that, you know, Lloyd did, and obviously she was in the blockbuster movie, you know, Ghost, which was, as you recall, she played a fake psychic that all of a sudden found herself communicating, you know, with the dead. That movie, I think, well, first of all, it brought everything into the open, but I think it did a lot of good, you know, in terms of do you remember seeing it? What do you think?
We didn't watch it when it first came out. We waited quite a while.
Months. Yeah, when we were on vacation and it was playing in the local thing, and we figured, oh, let's go see a movie tonight, and we went to see that.
But we were impressed with how it did align with so much that we believed and had read about. I particularly, I shouldn't say I liked it, but my beliefs in what might create one's own hell were depicted as I might think it would actually happen. The the fellow who had done, I don't want to say evil, had not done the right thing,
right,
sure got what was coming to him by forces that were very unpleasant. And I just felt like that's kind of how I view a hellish situation.
You know, what's interesting is that, at least for me, when I think back at movies like that that I watched then, how I thought about it, because then I really didn't believe in an afterlife.
When that came out.
When that came out, and a lot of other movies, too. You know, so I watched it from an entertainment perspective, you know, just, but not really contemplating, because I just said, well, you know, this is just fairy tale.
Yeah.
And now, you know, if I watch the movie again, it's like watching a movie for the first time, because now I'm saying, oh yeah, you know, that's true. You know, so
you know what? And it's funny that you say that, because that today we have the advantage of when you get a DVD or you see a movie, they have not only the outtakes but usually interviews of the producers and directors and what their intention was and what they believed when they were trying to put it. So if we would have had that available to us back in the 80s and 90s when all of these movies were first coming out, we would have, the population who were watching this movie would have a better understanding of survival.
Yeah.
Because these directors and producers certainly did, for them to put that together.
Remember that scene in Ghost when the deceased person was trying to move a coin? So then, moving a penny, right? And now, you know, I know much more about that, you know, about psychokinesis and, you know, physical mediumship and things like that. So what I thought then was just stupid.
If you recall the scene on the subway when he was with other spirits and he wanted to, one of the spirits that rode the subway was able to make physical things happen. And every time Patrick Swayze's spirit tried, he went falling right through them, and he had to build up this ability, which then led to being able to.
Right,
and that makes
what makes us what we believe now is that it's sort of a learned trait once you're on the other side to be able to do these things.
But I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier with Whoopi's role there was that of the fake psychic,
right.
And yet, even though she was a fake, and we've seen this over and over again, too. When spirit needs to come through, they'll come through.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a fake or not a fake.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how fake was she? Because
she wasn't a real medium in the thing.
But there was, like, a whole bunch of people spirits. When Patrick Swayze came in, there was a room full of spirits, but she couldn't see any of them? Or
she was bombarded by them and blown away, like, who are you all, and what do you want?
Oh.
Because she knew she was a fake, and she didn't expect.
Oh, right, that's
with
it.
Spirit.
Yeah, okay, that makes. Yeah, no, yeah, and clearly Whoopi did it for a comedic.
And I think then once she got it, and the spirits knew she was the right vehicle for them, they all came to her.
Oh yeah, okay.
So it wasn't just, it wasn't a communication.
So there was an awakening for her in that film as well. Mm. Yeah, I do remember being struck quite definitely at the end of that film, thinking, you know, that made a lot of sense. You know, it lined up with what I had sort of intuitively or read about up until that point. And yeah, that could easily be the one that sort of took it out of the realm of the horror film and into the realm of possible.
Right.
I mean, you had so many after that. I mean, Robin Williams made one where he tried to find his wife when she passed. There was
What Dreams May Come.
Yeah. And then, of course, The Sixth Sense. I See Dead People.
Right.
But both of those had scary elements through.
They did. They did.
Whereas Ghost did it with a lot of dignity.
Right. And then there was a recent one. Clint Eastwood directed it couple
afterlife.
Years.
Hereafter.
Hereafter. And that was almost matter of fact. I mean, the story wasn't necessarily that Matt Damon was a medium, but more about the life of this medium. You know, it wasn't like, oh, he's a medium. It's more like, well, here's a guy who's a medium, and these are the things that are happening to him.
Yeah, and also in The Sixth Sense, there was that wonderful twist at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Or, wow. You know, whatever. So, and that was, I mean, again, I'm probably, what year did that movie come out, you know?
Oh, 1999.
Yeah, because I was looking at that just as a very clever suspense.
Yeah.
Type, you know, but now I look at it more as an educational tool.
And when these movies come out, I like, oh, now the world will get it, and then
right.
It just disappears.
No, because
it's still
entertainment.
And that's why I said if they would take a look. Now they have the advantage of taking a listen to what the directors and producers had in mind, they might just learn.
Well, of course, the most popular of TV shows of this genre is the Ghost Whisperer, which I guess James von Prague was a producer of that film, that show,
right.
And it was hugely popular. I mean, it was a Friday night staple for years.
Yeah.
And then of course our own certified mediums, Teresa and Kim, who have their shows on now that, it deals with it all in a very matter-of-fact kind of way. You know,
yeah.
Well, Kim's show gets a little spooky in there, but you know, I mean, Teresa's just walking around living a life, and oh, yeah, by the way, here's your grandmother coming
right.
through.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back, there's a lot more to talk about. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering here at Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. And we're talking about the afterlife and how it's portrayed in the media. And we were on the subject of movies. And do you remember a movie from 1990 called Flatliners?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Bacon, I believe.
Yeah. And there's a movie that when I remember watching it, I said, well, this is just weird, you know, like whatever. And now I think back, you know, and it's kind of cool, you know, like inducing a near-death experience.
Yeah.
You know, then, you know, they would talk. This was after, you know, Raymond Moody's book, of course, came out, you know, so that people were familiar with the term, so it was somewhat popular. You know, I wonder if there were any kind of rash of people trying that afterwards. That's pretty dangerous, you know. But
I didn't see that movie, but I remember that
it was basically a group of medical students.
Yes, and let me tell you who those medical students were: Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon, William Baldwin.
Yeah. You remember a movie with Albert Brooks called Defending Your Life?
Meryl Streep was in it. Oh, that was hilarious. What a great movie.
And that jives with a lot of what we have read about with the Akashic Records or the reviewing, the life review.
She
went one way.
In the book, Testimony of Light reminds me of that, or that movie. I saw the movie before I read the book, so it did remind me of that.
Yeah, a lot of different themes in there. Judgment, right? And you know, always adding humor to these things to make it palatable, right? Is he still around? You don't see much of him.
Actually, where did he turn up? He turned up recently. I think it was on Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. He came out and did the Bob Hope thing, and right in the middle of they were doing something, and then the band starts playing Thanks for the Memories, and Albert Brooks walks out and sits down.
There's a classic movie that everybody likes to, in the metaphysical world, likes to quote with Kevin Costner, The Dragonfly.
Dragonfly.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I remember Dragonfly, but I thought you were going to talk about Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is
another one. Yeah. Kevin Costner as well.
With Dragonfly, it's been so long, but that had to do with a near-death experience as well, right?
It was an actual death, but a child lived, and something about a dragonfly kept appearing to him, and then I guess he found out about the child surviving.
The movie starts out with he and his pregnant wife, and she is a researcher, and she goes off to some other country to do research.
Yeah.
I think it's some third world country or something to do research. And then he gets notified that there's an accident. And that's when he starts seeing all of these after-death communications, like the dragonfly and things moving around the house and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he's in such grief, he needs to go back to the site where the accident was. And am I going to just, spoil it? It's an old movie.
No, you're not going to spoil it. I think that the rules about spoiling it for...
I don't know. You know, we're talking to... Yeah. Our listeners may have never come across this movie before. But when he does finally make it back to the village, the baby's alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and he doesn't realize that until afterwards.
And did it have...
Something with a dragonfly.
Yeah.
So when you first saw Field of Dreams, how did you feel when you were done watching the movie? Was it something that you thought could happen?
I'm having trouble remembering that one, too.
No, it was Kevin Costner out of the farmer, and they said, if you build it, they will come, and he made a baseball field, and everybody came, and Earl Jones was... delivered a kind of a silly monologue at the end of it. I the film for me kind of left me flat as a film.
Right.
The idea was in keeping with this. Was that M. Night Shyamalan also?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Might have been before him. I'm not sure. There was the book, The Lovely Bones, and then they made that into a movie.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of play. I don't know if it became a popular film, but certainly stimulated a lot of interest. So I don't know. I think that the movies, I mean, people go to movies, you know, because they like fantasy. But you would hope that, you know, some of these, they walk away questioning, you know, whether this is this fantasy or could this, you know, really happen.
Well, and we didn't talk about Heaven is for Real, which is pretty recent.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, aside from, if you can put aside the pure religion that was interspersed in it, the general idea seemed to align with what we believe to be true.
Yeah.
I think that was the problem with that whole thing, is that it really was a sales pitch on religion.
Which one are we talking about?
That was the little boy who...
I thought you were talking about the
father who's a pastor,
right,
miraculously remembers every single word that the four-year-old said 6 years later and writes a book about it.
I was confused with the some of these things had so many the similar names. The thing about Hereafter with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
What I remember mostly about that one was that the depictions of the people in the afterlife were, you know, ghostly and wispy and, you know, instead of the clearly defined.
That was odd, I thought, too. Maybe.
I think he just wanted to differentiate spirit from
the
real world so that the audience would understand what was going on.
Well, and, you know, speaking of that with the wispiness, because sometimes with people's near-death experience discussion, that some people are talking about it being quite clear, and the people that they see and the colors that they see, and we've had some people share their experiences where they do just sort of describe a hazy surrounding. They knew, they felt in their hearts,
right,
they were viewing the other side, but certainly with not the clarity that other, you know, some individuals do tell us about.
Right.
So that haziness could have been a blend of what they've heard.
We have a caller. Okay.
We have a caller on line three. Hello, caller.
Line three.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
I just wondered. Can you hear me now?
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, okay. My name is Mark. I just wanted to ask a question. I hate to change the subject again, but the rescuers all said they heard the voice very clearly. But never do they say if it was a man's voice or a woman's voice. I thought that was kind of odd. Have you ever heard that it was a woman's voice?
They thought that it was the mother. Some of them thought that it was could have been the mother, and so that just implies it to us. But you're right. They never actually said. I just got the impression that it was a female voice from the way they talked about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
Yeah, but they don't say it.
Yeah, no, they don't.
It's kind of like that, but confirm it. That would be, you know, saying that it was the dead woman that did it, so they didn't want to do that. That's the impression I got. I just wondered if you heard something that I didn't hear.
No, I didn't. I don't recall hearing it. But, you know, we also know that, you know, when we're talking about telepathic communication, you know, and it's sort of like an imprint on your mind, so... Sometimes it's just the interpretation of the receiver, male, female, or, you know, deep voice, high voice, you know, or could be in a different language, you know. So it's, I guess it's subject to interpretation. I guess if you're, the rescuers might have been so stunned to hear the voice, they didn't pay much attention to it, you know. So, but it's a good point.
Yeah, but I don't see how you could not remember it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to add that. I just want to also add that I think the reason that people don't, try to reject mediumship and that is because they're afraid they're going to be judged. And really, it's a very big deal to accept mediumship for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it really, you know, it demands a lot of re-looking at a lot of things in your life. But, okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Take care.
I believe totally with what he just said.
That
That is, in fact, I've witnessed it, that in a conversation with someone who didn't believe, and I said, well, you know, if you live your life as if it were true, you know, you'd live a better life, and the person exploded. I thought I was going to fight me because he was so upset with that concept.
Really?
And I think it was exactly that, oh my God, you mean I'm not getting away with the things I'm getting away with? That there is a day of judgment coming, or, you know, there are people, you know, spirits that are watching me that I'm going to have to atone for later. So, I think that what he said is exactly right. It's the fear of being found out, if you will, that people don't want to know, think that mediums are real, because then they have to own up to what they've
done. Right, and he reminds me clearly, because I could hear him, and maybe I am hearing him, Arthur Hastings, who's now on the other side. What were the words he said at our San Francisco Afterlife Conference was, clean up your life.
Yeah.
Clean up your life, because it will help you over there, but it may also help you over here.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Even some individuals who have said, you know, just people I've known who don't want to participate in these group readings, it's because they're afraid of what the medium might bring through. So it's like, oh, so you do have something that you're not very proud of, or you really don't want to be made known. I mean, I understand, you know, personal losses, but...
Yeah, well, fear is really complicated, and especially with mediumship, it works the other way, too, is that sometimes people don't want to go to the medium because they fear that their loved one won't come through. And they don't want to deal with that. You know, what does that mean? My loved one, they don't love me, or, you know, we don't have the attachment, so they'd rather just, you know, stay away. It's
right, and just because we have listeners, I want to take that and make a point of that. We do not, as an organization, advocate going into a group reading if you have a very new loss. Because when you're in a group reading, the odds of any one person getting read is reduced by the number of people in the room.
Yeah.
And there is always a sense of entitlement when you have a new loss. And walking into the room, you have that sense of entitlement. If you weren't one of the fortunate people to have gotten read, you walk out of there feeling worse
than you
walked in.
Because then you think, oh, my loved one doesn't care about me. That
right, exactly
through.
What Bob was saying.
Yeah,
well, that's always, we've talked about that before. I mean, it's certainly not an exact kind of science or procedure in mediumship. And there's always, even the best mediums are not always going to connect. And the last thing you want to do is to have somebody that's on the fence and they walk away convinced the other way that there is, you know, their loved one doesn't survive because of a particular reading. Well, it brings us near the end of the show, and Fran's got her healing list.
Let's go straight into our healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Scott Calzia, Donald Peterson, Judy Pernick, Donna Mello, David Mello, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Skandarian, Jeanette Davia, Marianne Pierschka, Julie Beischel, Ann Hutchinson, David Haith, Rita Springer, Vicki Steffi, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Eddie Roll, Tom Donahue, Tim Donahue, Harvey Abramowitz, Joe, Andrea, Richard, Brian, Karen, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lapata, Wendy Lippo, Dave Doug Berry, Philip McPhee, and Erica. And now, let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.